Today on the 10-12 podcast, myself, Chris, and Daniel are making picks for every Week 12 game in the Big 12, including Texas-Iowa State, the Sunflower Showdown, and we're talking about the tiebreaker conundrum, rule change clarification for the Big 12, and its impact in the Big 12 championship race.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. That's T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. We are partners with Sport Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Very excited to be here to make picks with the two guys I make picks with every single week. He is our pro picker. He is the man with the stats, the man with the data. He is Daniel Alexander.
Great to be here. Strung together a couple good weeks. I love breaking down the Big 12 with you guys. Let's run it back again. Let's have another good one.
Yeah, we'll recap last week here in a few minutes. Also joining us is a man who, like myself, is not celebrating their record last week. It is Chris Ross.
Yeah, I'm a man of extremes when it comes to picks. I cannot have an average week, just very good or very bad. And I've been meaning to ask you, are you going to be changing the name to, what is it, 14-12 or 16-12 here next year?
There will be no name change. The name is the name. It will not change. Maybe we'll do a little bit of a rebrand. Probably not. But no name change. No name change. One thing that has changed that we have to talk about, depending upon your perception of what has gone down, is the Big 12 tiebreaker rule. We've got to talk about this. This is the biggest story in the Big 12 right now. For those who don't know, maybe you've been living under a rock, maybe you just don't pay a ton of attention, or you're not on Twitter because that's where it's been the most vocal. The story came out over the weekend. Somebody was looking at the Big 12 tiebreaker rules for football. Obviously, there was no need for big worries about tiebreakers when you had 10 teams. There was a round robin. Everybody played everybody, so head-to-head decided everything. Well, now not everybody plays everybody, so tiebreakers and rules are going to have to come into place. I'm going to read you the original rule as it is written in regards to tiebreakers. In the event of a tie between more than two teams, the following procedures will be used. After one team has an advantage and is seeded, all remaining teams in the multiple-team tiebreaker will repeat the multiple-team tiebreaker procedure. If at any point the multiple-team tie is reduced to two teams, the two-team tie-breaking procedure will be applied. Did you get all that? Number one, head-to-head, best cumulative win percentage in games among the tied teams. If not, comma, every tied team has played each other, comma, go to step two. Two is record against the next highest placed common opponent in the standings, based on record in all games played within the conference, proceeding through the standings. That number one is the one that's had everybody hung up on it. Reporting came out over the weekend, and I believe Scott Wright was one of them. I believe Barry Trammell, a few different people, specifically around Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, had apparently reached out to the Big 12 office to get some clarification on rule number one. And what they reported over the weekend was that the line, if not every tied team has played each other, go to step two, implied that if everyone in the group, so let's say we have three-team tie, A, B, C, if everyone had not played each other, then head-to-head did not count. And why this mattered is that if Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State win out the next 2 weeks, you'll have a three-way tie for second. Oklahoma State has beaten both Kansas State and Oklahoma, but Oklahoma and Kansas State have not and will not play this season. So you would run into a situation where, despite having a head-to-head win over both Oklahoma and Oklahoma and Kansas State, Oklahoma State would not win the tiebreaker because Kansas State and Oklahoma had not faced off. Obviously, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that's the way the rule was apparently interpreted. Then Barry Trammell talked with the Big 12, and there was some clarification that that was not what the correct interpretation was. And so, the Big 12, after a meeting with ADs today, on Wednesday, put out a new statement in regards to what the rule was. They said, this is not a change to the rule, this is just a clarification. Regarding step one of multiple team ties in conference tiebreaker procedure, in the event of a multiple team tie, head-to-head wins take precedence. If all tied teams are not common opponents, the tied team that defeated each of the other tied teams wins the championship berth. There have been no changes to any rules regarding Big 12 football tiebreaker procedures, which were agreed upon prior to the season and went into effect August of 2023. There is the debate as to whether or not this is a change in the rule or not. There was no clarification the first time about head-to-head of one person beat the other two and moved on. There is the Mountain West rules, by the way. Whether this is a, it's worded so poorly that we didn't understand it. Whoever the reporters talked to at the Big 12 office got it wrong the first time. The reporters misinterpreted it. Or, as is being ballied about on social media, the Big 12 changed the rule, is pretending like they didn't change the rule, and is trying to make it all sound like it's our fault for not understanding the rule accurately in the first place, and this is not actually a change. Chris, I'll get your thoughts in a second. Here's where I stand on this. Number one, is it dumb that Oklahoma State would not win a tiebreaker after beating both teams, whether Oklahoma and Kansas State played each other or not? Yes. Oklahoma State should win that tiebreaker because they beat both teams. Common sense. Should you change a rule in the middle of the season? Well, I'll ask you all this. Do you think that James Madison should be allowed to play in the postseason this year, even though the rule was that they shouldn't? Keep that in mind. I'm very torn because I don't like the idea of changing a rule in the middle of the season. Am I understanding for Kansas State and Oklahoma fans who didn't know anything about this tiebreaker rule until it became a big topic the last few days? Do I feel bad for them because they were given hope that they had a better shot at the Big 12 championship game for about 48 hours and it was taken away from them? I do. Do we still have 2 weeks of football in the Big 12, which is incredibly chaotic and wild and crazy, and we're not sure that those three teams will all win their final games the rest of the year? Yes, we also have that. So I understand fans who are upset from the Kansas State and Oklahoma side, and they are the two fan bases, media sides, that are the most vocal, obviously. I understand people who are saying, you know, this is like it kind of was a change. Like, you added language in. You can call it a clarification, but it does feel like a rule change. It's a tough topic. It's a tough spot. From all messaging for the Big 12 is this was not a rule change. Take that what you want. Chris?
Yeah, before I get into the Big 12, I feel the way this came about is super fascinating, right? I actually talked to you about this a few weeks ago. And I did that because I was listening to the Sports Animal, local Oklahoma City radio show. And Barry Trammell, who kind of released this, he does an hour every week with Jim Traver and Al Ashbeck. And Jim Traver and Al Ashbeck were asking him about this rule and about the scenario where Oklahoma State, despite beating OU and Kansas State, would be out would lose the tiebreak. And Traber, you know, at the time he didn't know anything about it, and he was like, "No, I find that hard to believe. There's no way that's true." And but then, you know, looked up the rule while he was talking, and sure enough. And so then Traber runs it up and runs with the story, and now we're here, like, I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks later, and you know, there's this. So it's kind of interesting to see how that developed live. Like, that it's wild that, you know, kind of a little bit of reporting came to some actual change. As far as the Big 12 changing it, I don't have any problem with it. In fact, I'm kind of impressed, because the Big 12 was reaction, like they did common sense. Like you said, it's common sense that that's the way it should play out, that that's the way it should happen. And for it to not, you know, for Oklahoma State not get that edge despite beating those two teams, that's ridiculous. And the Big 12, you know, instead of just being like, well, that's the rule for this year, we'll change it next year, and OSU getting, you know, hosed in typical fashion, they were proactive, and they said, no, like, this is wrong, we're going to change it, or we're going to clarify it. However you feel like they actually did it, it doesn't matter. It's done. And I commend them for it, because what's a OU, Kansas State, what are you going to say? Like, it was part of our strategy to lose to Oklahoma State in this week because of a tiebreak? No, it doesn't matter. And yes, it's a rule change in the middle of the season, but no one's been affected by it. And of course, the most Big 12 thing that could happen is for the first year that it's not round robin play, that this becomes an issue that no one foresaw. And is there some blame on the Big 12 for not foreseeing it, for not going over the rules when changing the schedule and doing this and maybe recognizing it? Sure. I think that's a valid argument. I think the Big 12 needs to, you know, kind of look internally and figure out how that happened, and make sure there's nothing else out there that, you know, that, you know, they need to dust some I's, cross some T's, some, you know, some housekeeping stuff. But I don't have an issue with them, you know, fixing it in the middle of the season. No one had been affected by it yet. And listen, the most Big 12 thing that can happen, is you kind of hinted at this, is everybody's going to freak out about it, and then here in 2 weeks, it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, someone messed up, and no one is interested in taking the blame and the responsibility for it. That's really why we're here. At this point, everyone wants to blame the Big 12. The Big 12 is saying no. Like, y'all just,
I mean, who else
understood.
Would it be? It's the conference. I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, we all know.
This is also what you get for, like, I believe, I don't believe, okay, I believe that from what I have been told and know, like, the Big 12 is like, no, it would be dumb for us to say, like, no, OSU, despite beating the other two teams, shouldn't win the tiebreaker. Like, that's dumb. That's how the rule should be. And I agree, and I think everybody does agree. I don't think anyone's arguing that that's not what the rule should be. The issue that it was either not written in that way, or it was written in such a weird lawyer jargon that it's no way in any way could ever interpret it that way because of how it was written.
Well, but let me ask it. You. As we're talking about this, I'm thinking, how do rule changes work? Is that something that has to be ratified by presidents? Has to be voted on?
Okay. I can help with this. The rule changes must be voted on.
That might be why they're calling it a clarification.
Oh, it is.
So they don't have to go through the whole process.
It absolutely is. Based off the Big 12 bylaws, it falls to the 80s, as this is an interpretation that falls to the commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's gonna be a rule change, if we have to change a rule, not clarify it, we have to have the ADs have to vote on it. If it's a clarification, it is the ADs. That's why it's not a rule change. That's why it is being handled the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is there's no way anyone in their right mind said, yeah, if one team beats the other two, they shouldn't move on.
Yeah.
Again, common sense. I just think it was written poorly. I'm still not positive it's a clarification. It may be a clarification of this is what we meant, even though it's not what we said. So we're going to call it that so that we can do this without having to have the 80s vote. Because you're not going to get a unanimous 80 vote, because why in the world would Kansas State vote for that? Now, after the end of the season,
Yeah, I think the quote-unquote clarification is just you know, CYA speak.
This is it's not a good look. It's not a good look for new leadership. Big 12 is going to do everything they can to move past this as quickly as possible. They don't want to talk about it anymore. They don't want anybody. Like, they want to get past this as fast as they can and move on.
What do you mean it's not a good look?
You messed up. Regard?
And the fact you're, that it's you're still a young,
you are still a young, like, administratorship. Sure. This is your first big, like, pissed off your actual, like, fans.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is it, are you saying it's not a good look because it happened? Because, I mean, that's true. Or are you saying it's not a good look in the way that they're handling it?
All of the above.
Interesting. See, I disagree with the second half of that. But.
Well, they've done the right thing by fixing the rule to the way that makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
But since no one's accepting blame for this, and it's kind of it's coming across you guys didn't read the rule right.
Sure, but that's a legal thing, right? Because what if they change the rules, but then the ADs don't vote on it, or it's a rule change, and then OU sues them or something to the NCAA? Not that they would, but you know, like, OU leaving to the SEC, what do they got to lose? You know, like, I think it's just it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change anything for someone to quote unquote take blame. Obviously, it was an oversight and just needs to be cleaned up. And
taking blame for that does a lot of good sometimes.
For what? What's the issue?
Because it's making it, because the way it's being presented and the way it's being perceived is that the rule was changed and now you're gaslighting fans and media into believing it's their fault for not understanding it, as opposed to saying, like, hey, we wrote it bad. This is what it's supposed to be.
I guess I don't understand, like, who cares about the difference between those two statements? Whether it's like, clearly they're using that to just CYA because legally that's what they have to say. Whether or not it's true or not, legally that's what they have to say. So who cares?
Okay.
Right? Like, I don't, to me, it's just not a big deal. Like, I mean, I don't know why people would get hung up on the semantics of it, but whatever.
Okay. Semantics.
Like, I don't get it.
Someone done screwed up.
Well, sure. Oh, I mean, I don't know if someone screwed up. It was just an oversight.
Someone done screwed up. Because it goes back to, had the article that came out on Saturday never been written, it we'd be fine. But it did. What was said is that the Big 12 said, the article was that a Big 12 source said that the rule implied that it was not, that Oklahoma State does not win the tiebreaker with the head-to-head because Kansas State and Oklahoma didn't face off. That is the way it was read. That is what it was. That is the way that the Big 12 office, someone from the Big 12 office told someone in the media, this is what it is. And then they came out and said, well, it's not that.
Sure. And then they said, in order to fix it, you know, the lawyers were like, hey, we can't actually say that because, you know, otherwise we'd have to have this big to-do to actually change it. I'm impressed that they fixed it instead of just letting it ride. And then Oklahoma State would have a legitimate argument that they got hosed. I don't think OU fans and Kansas State fans are going to argue that they're getting hosed.
Oklahoma and Kansas State fans are arguing that they're getting hosed.
Okay, well, in the fact that fans will argue anything, but, like, are they, though, like, an objective fan? Is any objective fan of those fan bases going to feel that same way?
Like I said, the most vocal fan bases are the two that are getting hosed by this clarification. All right. That is enough on that. I don't want to talk about it anymore. we have games to pick and things to recap. Let's talk about last weekend. We spent too much time on that. I knew we would. Sorry. Daniel, our big winner, as we discussed, 6-2 on the week, sir. Hit under 61 in Kansas, Texas Tech. Hit on the Kansas State -20.5. Hit on UCF +2.5 versus Oklahoma State. Hit on the over 58 in Oklahoma, West Virginia. Hit on the over 41.5 in BYU, Iowa State. And hit on Northwestern +11.5. The misses were Houston -2 versus Cincinnati and Texas -9.5 versus TCU. 6-2 on the week. You are now in the lead, sir, at 49-42 on the season.
I will take it. I think I remember one of those games you talked about. That Iowa State total I mean, it's easy to sit here now and say I was right. I just remember thinking, like, 41 is crazy. Like, I know BYU couldn't score, but didn't that thing go over with, like, 10 minutes left in the second quarter?
I'm pretty sure Iowa State covered the total on their own.
Yeah, like, it was, like, end of the first quarter was, like, 31 points or something. It's like, okay, here we go. That was a fun one. I'm just still cracking up about Emory Jones and Dana just – cooking it up together to see, to just to make sure I lose. It's like, dude, it is impossible to win a bet if you involve Dana. So, hey, let's keep it rolling. I got to hold down the lead now. I got to pull a, I got to be better than Matt Campbell at being the hunted. So
don't be a Texas. Okay. Don't be a Texas. Chris came in second this week at 3-5, hit on Kansas State -20.5, hit on UCF +2.5, and hit on OU -12.5. The misses were Kansas -3.5, Houston -2. This is what happens when we all agree. Texas -9.5, BYU +6.5, and Oregon -14.5, 3-5 on the week, 41-50 on the season now.
Yeah. At this point, Texas owes me money. The amount of times that they have been comfortably covering a spread just to piss it away in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you win some, you lose some. This is a rough season for me. It started out great. I absolutely pulled the Texas. So I don't know how I feel about that, but we'll try to pick it up.
I was the big loser on the week at 2-6. My worst week of the season. Good grief. Hit on the under 61 in Kansas, Texas Tech, and the under 64.5 in UCF, Oklahoma State. Missed on the under 55.5 in Kansas State, Baylor. Kansas State did all of that on their own. Missed on Houston -2, like we all did. Missed on West Virginia +13. Oh, I should have known. Missed on the under 53.5 on TCU, Texas, which was the right read, except TCU scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. Thanks, Texas. I missed on BYU +6.5. I thought maybe going home would help. There, BYU is broken. And missed on Wyoming +5.5. That one wasn't close at all. Non-Big 12s suffered. 2-6. I am now 46-45 on the season. Still above 500, but I need to bounce back if I'm going to catch back up with Daniel. Every week is a new week. Every week we get to start fresh. You guys ready to do this?
I'm in.
Let's do it.
I'm so glad. I love your attitudes. You guys are great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we will start with Oklahoma on the road at BYU. This game is a morning game, an 11 a.m. kick, which is wild, given it's at BYU. A BYU game with an 11 a.m. Central Time, God's Time kickoff. I think it's like 10 a.m. Mountain Time.
10 a.m. Yeah, like, OU, I mean, hey. It's not an 11 a.m. kickoff. OU fans have nothing to worry about. 10 a.m.
It's 10 o'clock. It's even earlier. What's this? But it's not even. It's not earlier for them. Like, it's just earlier for BYU. Yeah. Anywho. Okay. What a game. This one is, of course, in Provo, but no vampires up at 10 a.m. Oklahoma currently a 24-point favorite total. Up to 57 in this one. Daniel, as our big winner, what would you like, sir?
You know, my raw line on this game is pretty close, so I don't like either side. I would probably lean towards Oklahoma on the side here, but this looks like another total that's just a little bit low, and it's involving two teams last week where the total seemed low. We've got great football weather, right? I mean, it looks clear. You know, it's not going to be freezing cold or anything, almost no wind, no precipitation. And what's interesting too, we also have a total where the sharps have stayed away. What do I mean by that? This thing opened at 57 and it has not been bet down through the key number of 56, which tells me, you know, smart groups aren't jumping all over this and thinking this is too high of a number. I'm leading to the over here. Shoot, Oklahoma put up 59 on their own last week. BYU, I mean, Iowa State did the work, but BYU was a part of that over as well. I mean, this is 57. There might be one or two stray 56 and a halves, but this looks like a true 57 across the board. So give me that over.
Let's see. Who is that? Mirage has a 56 and a half. Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find another one. FanDuel has a 56 and a half.
God bless them. Let's go.
I like it. I like it. Chris?
Yeah. I mean, BYU, they're in trouble. Will, is Slovis going to be healthy? Is he going to play? I don't know. This is tough. The FEI has this line right at 23.8, so right there with the actual line. I think what I look at here, and we look at last week against Iowa State at home, and Iowa State covered this line, right? That's tough. And you look at BYU, and they're just 3-7 against the spread, and they're 2-3 at home against the spread. Below 500 at home, not a good look. I'm a little concerned that OU coming off this West Virginia game, which was surprisingly chippy, chippier than Bedlam, actually. Super weird. Something West Virginia gets under OU's skin. We'll see how they, you know, there's, I don't think there'd be a letdown, but it's weird because that game was just surprisingly intense there in Norman, and now they go on the road. But I think OU has this. I think BYU is just, they're in trouble. It's not going well for them. Give me the Sooners to cover the lowest line I can get them at.
24. I've got 24 and a half, so I've got 24s. I can give you minus 24.
Perfect.
Okay. I think Oklahoma probably covers this one. They probably do. Hey, BYU fans, remember when you guys were talking about moving off of Keaton Slovis? Well, you got your wish. How's it going? Remember how I told you, like, the only reason that BYU even had 5 wins was because of Keaton Slovis, and you had to live with the ups and downs of Keaton Slovis? Well, now you don't have him. You've got a different guy, and BYU has completely fallen off of a cliff. The defense, which was playing okay to start the season, has gotten bad, and the offense, which couldn't run the ball, now can't do much of anything. And so you've gone from, like, okay to, like, bad, bad, bad. Keaton Slovis is out because of shoulder and elbow injuries. Not sure if he's going to play this week or not, even if he does. Kalani Sitake said that Slovis practiced last week and was, quote, available to play in an emergency situation, which is what he was the week before. He's still banged up, not 100% yet. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. I'm not sure he's going to be healthy enough, even if he does, that it's going to matter. Oklahoma should cover it, but I don't like betting a line that big. I just don't. I don't care. Maybe interesting playing Baylor.
Interesting little bit here because it's a big line. I was just looking at it while you were speaking. BYU hasn't covered 24 points in their last 3 games.
What's interesting, Daniel, is TCU, Room 44, and SP Plus all project this to go under. It worked with Iowa State last week because it was 41. 56 is a big number. That's like Oklahoma might do it on their own. It does require BYU to lose a little bit. So if we think BYU scores 2 touchdowns, that's 14 points. OU's got to put up what? 43?
Yeah.
For the over to hit?
I mean, again, I don't know. Hey, you know, that's how I'm capping this game. I mean, yeah. look what Oklahoma's given up to people for the last 5 weeks now, right? It's like they're giving up points and they're scoring points. It just seems low. It's like, you know, 56, that's, you know, that's a moderate total. 57, you know, that's not a high total in college football. And we could easily, I don't know, no one would be surprised if Oklahoma won, you know, 49-17 or something like that, 48-14.
I think I'm with you here. I think the over's going to hit. I don't like big totals. I don't like big spreads. I'd rather go with a total. At this point, BYU's fallen off a cliff. I don't trust their defense. I'm going to ride with you. I'll take the over as well. My only fear is that BYU doesn't score somehow. Like, it actually gets worse at 11 a.m. and OU puts up like 50 points on their own that still can't get there. But I'll ride with you on the total. We'll take the over together. We'll jump off this cliff at the same time. All right, let's move on. West Virginia facing off against Cincinnati in a game that's not a rivalry. Don't say it's a rivalry game. Don't ever say that. That's not what this is. This one's going to be in Morgantown. It's their first game appearing against each other since the Big East fell apart from a football standpoint. I am excited for this one. They can say it's not a rivalry all they want. I think this one should be. We need to get this thing a trophy. Is there a trophy? West Virginia fans, I don't know. Total in this, or spread in this one is West Virginia by 6.5. I think I see a 7 out there, maybe. Total's at 54.5. Chris, you're up first. What would you like?
Yeah, the rivalry makes this a little bit interesting. You know,
No, don't say paper, it's a rivalry. They don't like when you call it a rivalry.
Yeah, on paper, everything tells me West Virginia. They're only 6-4 against the spread, but Cincinnati's only 4-6. But where West Virginia shines is at home in Morgantown. They're 4-1 against the spread in Morgantown. And the line at 6.5, about right there, projection, FEI has it at 11.6. Some value there at almost 2 scores for West Virginia. I'm going to take the Mountaineers to cover this in an intense game, but I just don't think Cincinnati is going to be able to keep up on the road. Give me West Virginia.
Cincinnati, you know, got their first win on the road in Houston last week. Thanks, Dana. Appreciate that one. But look,
as I said, I think that's more of a Houston comment.
Yeah, that was. I'm going to take as many opportunities to jab at Houston as I can. And Dana Holgorsen, we'll talk about him in a minute. Oh man, Dana. Oh, I appreciate you, content generating machine. This being below 7. Like, I'm so glad it's not West Virginia minus 7. If it was West Virginia minus 7, I'd be on the total. That hook makes such a difference to me. I'm going to ride with you, West Virginia minus 6.5.
We're just teeing Daniel up. We can't be doing this. It's too late in the season to give Daniel this.
It's done.
I'm not. I'm not going the opposite of you guys on this one.
Are we all going to agree and go down together?
No. I'm taking. I'm going total here. Am I up?
Yeah, go for it.
My turn to run this. Look, maybe this is the old, you know, stereotypical Big 12 of like 15 years ago that everyone still remembers. This is another total where, like, it's probably about right now, but it opened, I think, at 50.5. Well, Circa opened it at 50.5. I don't know where FanDuel opened this, but this was bet up immediately, and I agree with that. I probably won't have any real money in this situation come Saturday morning, but this total feels a little low. I mean, 31-24, that's West Virginia, and that also gets us over. Again, we've probably got 54.5 for the most places, maybe a stray 54. If Mirage and FanDuel are the only two guys, you know, hanging off numbers all for every single game, we won't take them after the first one. But this is another over. Cincinnati past 2 weeks, UCF, they scored. They're able to score against Houston. West Virginia has been able to score, and it's going to continue for both of these teams. I don't know who's going to cover. I think West Virginia probably wins and covers, but I'm rolling with the over here. This thing gets into the high 50s, low 60s. 54 is just too low of a total for these two teams right now.
Yeah, Caesars has a 54.
Yeah, 54 flat. Take that.
Yep. You can have it. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I liked it before. My concern is Cincinnati will score 24 points, right? Yeah, they should be able to do that, maybe. West Virginia's defense is taking a step back. All right, we go to an actual rivalry game in the Big 12. TCU versus Baylor, the rivalry. We are not calling it the Blue Bonnet Battle, all right? You can bring him home, Mom, but I'm not going to call him Dad. This is the rivalry. It will always be the rivalry. It will never be the Blue Bonnet Battle. And the only thing worse than the name is that godforsaken trophy, if you want to call it that. That thing needs to be dropped. I don't care who wins. Find a body of water to drop it in on the way home, somewhere along the path, okay? Just destroy that thing. Light it on fire. It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. just like this game's probably going to be on Saturday. Y'all, Baylor is bad. Like, bad, 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 bad. Dave Aranda needs to get a good performance out of this team. If not this week, then next week. They've got TCU and West Virginia. Because while I believe, and I've listened and read more, while I believe that the administration really does want to keep him and give him the opportunity to make changes to get things going, Aranda is making that more and more difficult every single week. And last week, I don't think you could have asked for a worse performance from Baylor than what they gave against Kansas State last week. And I understand Kansas State stomping bad teams. Like, it was final score is 59-25, and it wasn't that close of a game. Baylor's got a little quit factor in him, it looks like. And I think the players still like Dave Aranda. The administration likes him. I think people like him. But if you lose the team and you've already lost the fan base, like, the boosters better be really behind him, because it's getting to a point where I'm not sure he can stay around much longer. Okay? Baylor hasn't had, here's a fun fact for you. Baylor hasn't had to make a coaching change because of an on-the-field performance since they fired Guy Morris all the way back in 2007. The last few guys have been he who shall not be named, Jim Grobe, who filled in for a year, and then what's his name who left for the NFL and is now at Nebraska, whose name just completely and totally escaped me for some reason. It's been a while since Baylor's been so bad at football you had to fire the head coach because he couldn't win games. That is the level of expectation at Baylor right now. Like, that's what it is. You're not going to a bowl game. You're 3-7, and I don't think Baylor is a 5-7 bowl candidate. So, like, there's no bowl game this year. Three of your 4 years in Waco have been mediocre to bad. I understand he's got the Big 12 title, and I'm all for Dave Aranda, but he's got to do something in this game. Like, they have to be competitive and look like they're still fighting in this game. And I forget who I was listening to. It's one of the Baylor guys I was listening to who made the best point is, when you want to see if a team has quit, it's not that they don't show up. It's that they don't go after the loose ball quite as hard. They don't want to chase the running back quite as much. They don't want to hit quite as hard, right? Like, they get hit in the mouth early, and they're not interested in getting hit again. Just see how this that's kind of what they look like against Kansas State. Let's see how this team looks against TCU on Saturday. Because I'm very, very interested in what's going to happen to Baylor. Now, as far as this game goes right now, TCU is a 13-point favorite. I realize I hadn't given the numbers yet. Total is at 59. I know it's a rivalry game. I'm concerned about quit factor. It's dropped below 2 touchdowns. I think 13 is the best I can do. I don't think there's anything lower than that anywhere. I'm scrolling. Oh, all right, I need 2. I need 2 of you, not just 1. I need 2 of you so I can fight Daniel on this. I've got 1 FanDuel at 12.5. I've got who is that? Who is that? Mirage. Uh-oh. Two things Daniel doesn't like to hear. FanDuel and Mirage. God, I want a 12.5 so bad here. I do.
I'll give it to you. I mean, that's a funky number. So
MGM. Yeah, take it. MGM's got a 12.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're live. You're good.
Perfect. TCU minus 12.5. What would give you any faith that Baylor has anything left to give this season? Because after last week, I don't know how this team even gets back onto a field again. Daniel?
Well, I sort of see this as like TCU is a 2-touchdown favorite over anybody right now that's not a D2 school. I mean, well, their last 6 weeks, they're 1-5, and their only win was just, you know, I'm going to call it sort of a weird blowout against BYU. I mean, great, they rallied against Texas, love it, but it's, I don't know, stomped by Kansas State, lost to West Virginia, you know, handled by Iowa State, Texas Tech, and now I'm supposed to expect that we have this coach who, in theory, is, I mean, these guys are playing for their jobs every week, but, you know, I think we can agree Aranda really needs to have something come together here in these last few weeks of the season for him. So I'm just hard-pressed to think that TCU is going to come out and come win this thing by, you know, 14, 17, 20 points or something like that. And, hey, if the staff has completely lost the team at Baylor and nobody cares and none of these kids want to play, then I'm wrong. But it just feels like in this situation, that number is absolutely way too high asking TCU to cover a conference game in a rivalry game. Give me Baylor, 13 points.
Yeah, I'm with you, Daniel. I mean, you have – this game was won by a point last year, 2 points the year before that. It's typically a pretty close back and forth, regardless of how the teams are doing. It's been a – TCU's gotten a blowout a couple of times a few years ago, but this just doesn't feel like a TCU team that's capable of blowing out anybody, even Baylor. And Baylor's not – they're down, but they're not just completely inept. I mean, they can score. They can put points on the board. The line and the FBI, the efficiency like line, is they're right on the money. They're basically even. I wanted to check. Do you guys, where did this open at? Because what I see open at is TCU by 4, and it bloomed out to 12.5.
No, let's see here. Circa opened it at 13.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So that was just a false open.
You know, like some of these sites are now reporting, you know, some of these books just sort of go rogue out on their own. Mm-hmm. And I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They'll put mm-hmm. a number out and they'll literally take, you know, they open, let's just say TCU minus 4, and like they'll take a $100 bet and then move it to 7 to see what happens. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And then it's like they'll allow $200 to come in to sort of try to shape it. These guys that open it really early. So really, if you're looking for openers, still the standard is Circa. You know, if you're looking for like a true opener of where a game started.
Nice. Okay. I mean, that makes, because I was like, wow, that's insane. I think TCU gets the win here. I'm not convinced. It's, I'm going to take BYU. I think this is closer than 2 scores. So yeah, I'll take BYU here.
Baylor.
As much padding as I can get.
You're taking Baylor. Yeah. No, I want to take BYU. Oh. Wow. Yes. It's late, guys. Baylor.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let me see if he's not even on the field.
That's good. That's good. One thing everyone will take is a new t-shirt, sweater, or hoodie from Charlie Hustle Clothing Company, vintage inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today. Show off your school spirit all football, basketball, baseball, softball season long. They have stuff for every Big 12 fan, except Cincinnati. They do have Colorado. That's part of the more than 30 schools that they have to choose from. They've got some fantastic stuff. The UCF launch that they just did was fantastic. I believe that Houston fans should keep an eye on the site for a little bit longer. The varsity jackets are incredible. I just got the Big 12 Kansas City Skyline shirt that I'm very excited to have. Should be arriving any day now. I cannot wait to have that one. Have a little Big 12 pride, a little Big 12 apparel. Going to be pumped to be rocking that one. You can go check out everything they have. Use the promo code 10-12-15, TEN1215, for 15% off all non-sale items. Something for you, something for family or friends. Christmas is almost here. Buying some really cool gear that they're going to be excited to have, you're going to be excited to have as well. So remember that promo code 10-12-15, 15% off all non-sale items. Go to charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage, made fresh.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
One fan base that could definitely use a little bit of fresh right now would be Oklahoma State after what happened last week in Orlando. They are looking to rebound on the road at Houston. This one, road game for OSU. Going to be an interesting game to see at Houston, 3 p.m. ESPN 2 on Saturday. At the moment, Oklahoma State is roughly a 7-point favorite. Total, 60. I do see some 59.5s if that's something that piques your interest. Daniel, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Interesting. When I was looking at this game, anytime a team gets blown out, I like to go take a look at how does a coach respond, right? Like, what happens? I sort of, you know, blowouts can mean different things depending on the level of competition. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, UCF, Oklahoma State, they're, we'll say, equal teams. Meaning it's not like a team that Bama blew out and they're playing, you know, some D3 school. So, Gundy, off getting blown out, 24 or more points in a loss. He is 1-6 against the spread the following week. That really surprised me. Oftentimes, historically, teams do very well off blowout losses. And to see that Gundy was that bad against the spread after getting rocked, and that's as a visitor. That's if he gets blown out and then has to go on the road as a visitor. The other part about that is it's profitable to fade ranked teams off blowouts. So, you know, you have two different things going on here. You have Gundy, who doesn't handle them well going on the road. And then it's a profitable spot when you have a ranked team that's a favorite. It's just, that's it. If they lost by two touchdowns or more, just fade them the next week. And it's a profitable spot. It happens way less than you think, but you know, it hits at like 63% against the spread for both of those different angles. We got it matched up here. So I absolutely cannot believe that I'm about to make a losing pick. And I'm just taking Houston cold. Dana, +7. Do not do this to me this week, man. Don't do me like you did last week, Dana. Let's go. Houston, +7. Let's roll. We're fading Gundy.
Chris?
Okay, this is everything you said, right? Like, I don't have any faith in Gundy, and that's not from looking at data. That's just from my gut feeling of watching Oklahoma State for years and years and years. It was a little bit of comeback to reality last week. And I get what you're saying about the blowout thing. UCF is UCF if they play that game 10 more times. Are they 45-3 better than Oklahoma State? No, clearly not. That game got away from Oklahoma State. But that's also kind of an indictment on the coaching staff. Like, why did that game get away from them? They weren't ready. When you knew coming off of Bedlam that obviously the letdown was a factor and you failed to keep your team focused, you failed, despite everybody in the world knowing that that letdown was coming, you failed to prevent it. And then, I mean, it looked like they were playing in molasses. UCF was so much faster on the field. Plumlee was lighting it up. UCF receivers were just running free. Oklahoma State couldn't block. They couldn't do anything. It was just a terrible game all the way around. Do I think that's fixed this week? I don't know. This kind of feels like, you know, they beat OU, then they have the best road to the end of the season. They look like all of a sudden a lock for the Big 12 title game. It would just be quintessential that Oklahoma State doesn't even get to the title game. Even though they're in the driver's seat right now with the tiebreak and everything. Dana, I mean, he wants to beat his old boss, right? Like, Holgorsen used to be on the sidelines with Gundy before going to West Virginia, you know, and I don't think there's like any animosity or anything there, but I think Dana would like to beat Gundy. And I don't know if you ever want to put your faith in Dana, but I'm going to take Houston. I don't – just for putting it out there, FEI actually likes Oklahoma State by closer to 10 points, but I need to see it first. Give me Houston.
All right, so we're talking about Houston-UCF, right? Wait, no, that's not right. It's supposed to be Oklahoma State-Houston, right? Not Houston-UCF.
Yes.
So then why is Dana going on a radio show this week and talking about UCF? Quote, Central Florida's got those uniforms, because last week was Space Week. I don't know what the heck they are. But they are some blue unis, some Space City thing. I thought we were Space City. Quote, the launch pad is like 45 minutes away from UCF. It's not close. They don't say, Orlando, we got a problem. Why on God's green earth is Dana Holgorsen talking about UCF, who they play next week, when he's supposed to be preparing for Oklahoma State this week? Why is he getting a space race battle conversation going about next week's opponent, the week he's supposed to play Oklahoma State? Oh, by the way, did you know that Matthew Golden, the receiver who's out for the rest of the season or whatever, I think he got hurt. He's been getting some six-figure deal offers from big schools. Like, coming off a loss to Cincinnati, Dana's doing his Dana thing and talk about anything and everything he can to distract anyone from the fact that Dana is not good again. Like, What? It would be the most Dana thing and the most Gundy thing. I guess it'd be the most Dana thing to win this game. I understand that stat. To me, it's also more Gundy to be, like, in my mind, it's more Gundy to, like, nah, we're going to go win this game big. Like, that is a game last week where you throw out the game footage. Like, we're just not even going to watch it. We're just moving on to Houston. We're not even going to review it because there's nothing to review. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. You were physically and emotionally just beat up from the week before. You were on the road at a team who UCF treats the space game the way Oklahoma State treats homecoming. If you want to understand the emotional investment that fan base and program has in that. UCF had a great game plan and they executed it to perfection. Oklahoma State's offensive line, despite playing great for 5 weeks in order in the win streak, is beat up. It was a bad game. Period. End of story. Absolute worst possible thing that happened. Oh, and then a monsoon showed up and the ball was described as really heavy and like holding a wet bar of soap.
So real quick.
I'm not trying to defend Oklahoma State's performance. Like, it was a bad game. This isn't it was actually closer than the final score indicator. Like, no, UCF flat out beat Oklahoma State. They executed the game plan perfectly. They functioned better in a bad situation. Once Oklahoma State was down big, they couldn't even try to figure out how to run the ball because they're down too big. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was an utter disaster for Oklahoma State. I'm throwing the tape out. I'm not going to pick Oklahoma State in this spot. Where I am going to do is look at a total of 60 and go, what? No, give me the under 60.
All right, so real quick. What do you make of Oklahoma State not having rain gear?
They did. That's been clarified. Somebody put that out there, and everyone hooked onto it, and everybody who came out and tried to correct it, they did.
Okay.
They did. Gundy had some other comment about it. It's like, they just didn't want to get a bunch of stuff out. Yada, yada, yada. Like, it was already so wet. It didn't matter. And the problem was, things are wet. Well, also, you're already, it is a monsoon. Rain gear's not doing anything to help you. Like, as soon as you get on the field, everything's soaked, the ball's soaked, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they had rain gear. Okay. Moving on. Speaking of UCF, they are at home again in Orlando. I'm feeling real good. No, they're on the road. I'm sorry. I have it written down as UCF's at home. It's fine. It's whatever.
We are doing really UCF well this week.
We're doing fine, sir. We're doing better than Oklahoma State did in Orlando. UCF on the road at Texas Tech. In Lubbock, 4 p.m. kickoff on FS2. I always forget that FS2 exists until the team has to get their game on there. And it's like, oh, okay, weird. At the moment, Texas Tech, a 2.5-point favorite. I see some weird lines out there. We'll talk about them if we need to. The total is 60. Again, some weird lines out there if anybody is of interest in that. Chris, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Yeah, I mean, UCF, they're looking good. Listen, they played in the same conditions that Oklahoma State did, right? And they got a big win. Like I said, Plumlee looking great. Texas Tech, they're doing pretty well themselves. Beat TCU, beat Kansas on the road in a low-scoring game. You know, it's good to see Texas Tech kind of win those kind of games too. Both teams fighting for that sixth win. They're both 5-5. This is tough. The line is 2.5, I think, is what you said. The projection is, 2.1. It's right there. On the road, though, I think if there's an edge here, UCF typically doesn't play as well on the road. There's 1-4 against the spread on the road. The fact that this is in Lubbock, I like it a little bit more. That 4 p.m. kickoff a little weird. It'll get dark. It'll be under the lights a little bit. Give me Texas Tech to get this one.
Yeah, I think 2.5 is the best I'm going to find for you. Looking for a 2. I don't see a...
Yeah, I think there might be a little letdown factor. Like you said, that space race game, that does mean a lot for UCF, that space game. What do they call it? Space race or just space?
It's just the space game.
Space Jam.
No, I guess. I
don't know. Kind of a cool concept, though.
No, it's great. It makes sense for them. Yeah, look, I'm not going to use what UCF did last week and apply it to this week. I'm just not. I'm very interested in the total here because I can see this game going both ways. Texas Tech has been awful in one score games this year. Remember last year they were like 4-0. This year I think they're 1-2 or 2-4 now. Let's see, 1-2-0, 2-1. I don't know how to do math right now. Point is, Texas Tech's not been great in one score games, but this is a big game for both. In fact, I would argue it's a bigger game for Texas Tech. Both teams are 5-5. Both teams are one win away from bowl eligibility. For UCF, you're on the road at Texas Tech, but guess what you get next week? A home game against Dana in Orlando. What does Texas Tech have next week? A road game at Texas to close out the regular season. This is a bigger game from a we got to get a bowl game for Texas Tech than it is for UCF. I think Texas Tech's the right side here. But you know what? I think 60 is too many points. I just feel like it is. I feel like this will be a lower scoring, I'm going to do math. I hate doing math right now. 31-24 kind of game. I think 60 is too much. I'm going to take the under 60. I'm going to do two under 60s in a row. That's where I feel better. I think Texas Tech's the right side, but I feel better with the total. Daniel?
This is a tough game. It's a very tough game to cap. I mean, if you just look at it at the surface, this screams Texas Tech. I mean, not even have to cover 3. UCF coming off the big win. Texas Tech needing to find a win somewhere. Everything about the eye test in this situation, it tells me Red Raiders. My raw number, meaning neutral field, would be UCF -1. This is tough. This is a coin flip game. This is a coin flip game where I look at this and say Texas Tech is going to cover. So for that reason, I'm going to take UCF at +2.5 because I'm going to go with my raw number and I'm going to ignore. It's like, I'm just going to fade my opinion in here. Like, this just seems like a spot that just seems too easy. It just seems like, oh yeah, UCF had the blowout. Now they got to go on the road. Texas Tech only has to win by 3. All of that setup just seems too easy. And too easy just is not a spot that we cash as bettors. So it tells me that line of thinking is incorrect. Going with the numbers, UCF +2.5.
MGM and Mirage have 3s.
That's a huge 3. That's up to you to give that away. I mean, the difference between 2.5 and a 3 is a big deal in this spot.
I'll give you a 3.
Hey, I will take it. Hand it over.
I'll give you a 3. Okay. We got one more Big 12 game on the schedule. And it is, I dare say they saved the best game for last for the Big 12 this week. No, we have 2. I've lied. You know what? It is what it is. I can't believe I thought there was only one. This is what happened. I'm looking at my notes. I'm going to my notes. Okay. And somehow I scrolled up on my notes. Because I would never forget the Sunflower Showdown. The Sunflower Showdown. Kansas in Lawrence hosting Kansas State. This one's going to be fun, perhaps. Kansas State, a road favorite of 8 points, total around 56.5. Kansas State has won 14 in a row. They've covered in 4 straight and 11 of the last 14 in this game. Klieman is 52-23 against the spread as a head coach. Kansas State is absolutely rolling. And despite the coach speak we're hearing from Lance Leipold, I would be shocked if Jason Bean isn't the starting quarterback for Kansas on Saturday. I am going to keep saying it. Jalen Daniels will not play for Kansas again this season. If he plays in a bowl game in like late December, and you want to come at me, fine. Whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. Also, you should let Jason Bean do it because it's his last season, and if he's going to play this much of the year, then he deserves to be the starting quarterback for the bowl game. I think that's fair. Anywho, 8 points is big, but Kansas State's on a roll. And I know this is a rivalry game. I know it's a big game, and maybe Kansas gets in their game. I think Kansas State's the right side. I keep looking at that 56.5, and I look at that and say, really? Like, Kansas defense has played fairly well the last few weeks, right? Like, Kansas defense kept them in that game last week despite the loss to Texas Tech. You had to go to the third string quarterback, and you only gave up 16 points to Texas Tech. You held Iowa State to 21, Oklahoma to 33. They've done a pretty good job these last 3 weeks, I would say. Ever since the loss to Oklahoma State, I think Kansas' defense has played fairly well. Kansas State's defense has been lights out. Their offense has been absolutely rolling. But in this game, I think points are going to matter. I think the total's too low. I think Kansas State covers this. Man, I'm so torn between the over and Kansas State. Over Kansas State. Over Kansas State. Which one do I want? I want... I need a magic eight ball. Or just a... So I'm going to roll some... I just had some dice I could roll. Because I like Bo Osmich. I like Kansas State to cover the spread. And I like the over. Give me the over. I'm going to take a bunch of totals this week. I think it's too low. What's the best total I can get right now? Let's take a look. Let's see. 56.5. It's 56.5. Yeah, unless there's a... It's 56.5. There's no 56s. Let's just say that. All right, over 56.5. I think Kansas State's offense is going to continue to play really well. I think they're going to put up quite a few points. I think Kansas is going to find a way to score quite a few, even as well as this Kansas State defense is playing. Like, this is such a big game. I think Kansas will have some stuff they've been saving for this game. I think the over's hitting on this one. Daniel?
I got to go back to raw numbers here. It is a rivalry game. This is a tough cap. I lean with you on the over, and so does Sharps. This thing has been bet up a little bit on the total. I've got this number closer to K-State minus 12. I weigh teams a little heavier in the back half of the season than I do at the beginning. I'm giving K-State a little more credit for, you know, a blowout at Houston, a blowout at TCU. I know they played to the number against Texas, but they played really well, and I think they should have even won that game. I'm going to roll with Kansas State here to cover this number. I just think it's a little bit short. I don't think the home field advantage is going to be much of anything. You know, I know the crowd's going to be into it and stuff, but like, this isn't some unknown trip for K-State. So I think there are some 7.5s out there, and that's been bet out too. I mean, this opened at a flat 7. Money's come in on K-State since the open, where we have 7.5 and 8s now. That 7.5. Wow.
I can't find a 7.5 anywhere.
Is Bet Online not hanging one right now? Bet US? No. Okay. 8 flats fine.
Yeah. I'm seeing some 8.5s, which means this line might be going up still. So get your 8 while flat you can.
Flat 8. Give it to me. K-State.
Chris?
Yeah. I like where Daniel's at with it. I mean, you guys have pretty much summed this up. Now, I agree that Jalen Daniels is probably not going to play. I don't see that happening at this point in the season, but I'm also not sure that Bean's going to play. I know that, you know, they said he was optimistic that Bean would play, but Bean wasn't practicing. It's a head injury. You know, is it worth messing around with that? I don't know. Kansas State, even without the questions on whether or not how healthy both quarterbacks are going to be, Kansas State is favored. FBI likes them by more than the line here. So I'm going to take Kansas State. Yeah, that's it. You all.
Man, we all should have agreed so we could have won together.
What'd you say you had the line at?
Minus 8. Oh. You're getting 8. I'm looking at 8.5s popping up more and more. Like, this line's going up.
Yeah. I had it at 8.5, so I love it.
No, you get an 8. All right, now the last game of the Big 12 this weekend. And it is the most impactful game to me. But Kansas State, Kansas can be impactful. Iowa State, Texas. Ooh. Big, big game. Big, big, big game in this one, especially for, like, there's a chance we have a five-way tie again next week if Iowa State pulls this one off. Just let that one sink in for just a second. Going into last week of season, we could have a five-way tie. I mean, I think the gods of chaos in college football demand such a thing to happen. We'll see what happens in Ames under the lights, 7 o'clock on Fox. Iowa State hosting the Texas Longhorns at the moment. Where did it go? Texas is a 7.5-point favorite. Total is at 47. A couple 47.5s, if that's of interest to you. Daniel, you'll up first, sir. What would you like?
This might be a situation where I get involved with some real money. This is pure Joe Public here. And I know this line has even been bet down, but like this number seems so low to me. Like, really? 47 points? And with Texas sitting at -7.5, so I mean, this final is going to be 27-20 or something like that. Like, that feels too low for both teams. And
can I offer you some insight there?
Yeah. Jump in. You don't want to save to read off your numbers, or is this a good segue?
No, I'll give you this one. I'm gonna give you this because I have this. Here's why I think this total is so low. I think Vegas has kind of learned its lesson. The under has hit an 8 straight in the series. Okay, here are the totals, the point totals, the last 8 years of this game. Starting in 2015, 24, 33, 24, 34, 44, 43, 37, 45. Vegas has finally learned its lesson and set this at an appropriate total based off the history of this series.
So you're saying the over is due.
It kind of feels like it.
Right? Isn't that how, like, all goes away? Does the trend continue, or are you saying that?
Once everyone notices the trend goes away. Yeah, it's the old, like, as soon as they say, so-and-so is on a – this team is on a 12-0 scoring run. Other team immediately hits a basket.
You clinched it for me. So give me the over 47. Layup. Dude, this thing will be hit halfway through the third quarter.
Just to put it out there, FEI has the total at 39.2.
Oh, even better. They're going to hit this by half. Love it.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of betting on Texas. But I don't know, man. Iowa State, I get what you're saying, Phil, but Iowa State's wins are, you know, BYU, then they lost to Kansas, then Baylor and Cincinnati. Not exactly murder row, you know? How good is Iowa State right now? I think they might be a little inflated. And Texas, I continue to believe that Texas is a very, very good football team. They're just not living up to their potential at the end of games. They get a big lead, and they just kind of coast the end of the game. And it gets a little close sometimes, but, you know, they just keep putting up W's. So, but I think I keep thinking that this is the week that Texas just is tired of messing around, and they're just going to play a complete game and put it out there. If they don't do it this week, then I don't know. Maybe they're not as good as I think, but I'm going to ride with them one more time. I'm going to take
something. They're due.
Looks like 7.5 is the best I can do for you.
All right. I mean, on paper, this should be an easy cover. We'll see.
I mean, look, SP Plus, Room 44, Tshu, K4, they all agree with you. Texas should be a double-digit favorite in this game. Texas hasn't covered in 3 straight in this series. Iowa State is 6-2-2 against the spread since 2017 as a home dog, 1-1 this season. The loss was, of course, to Iowa back early on. Texas currently is 110th in passing success allowed in the last 4 games. Iowa State's passing offense is clicking very well. Reminder, I don't know if I've said this on this show, Texas has blown leads of 20 or more in 3 of the last 4 games this season. Also, losing Jonathan Brooks is bad. Texas's leading rusher out for the season with an ACL injury. He's going to get surgery. The drop-off from 1 to 2 is not like last year. Last year, you went from Bijan to Roshan, and Roshan is in the NFL. He's very good. The drop-off from Jonathan Brooks to Keelan Johnson, C.J. Baxter, Jaden Blue, none of those are Roshan Johnson. So the backup is not going to come in and just be like, yeah, you're good. Add that to the fact, and I've been saying this for a while, and it's why I like Iowa State in this game, Texas still can't finish drives. They struggle to score touchdowns when they get past the opponent's 40. It's not going to be easier for them now if they don't have their best running back. And they're going up against an Iowa State secondary. I think it's still pretty good, and it's healthy. Like, it's healthy. Jack tries under the lights. Texas has been playing with fire week after week after week after week. Now you got to go to Iowa State probably for the last time ever, because I don't see Texas scheduling Iowa State in non-conference ever at all. In a November night game under the lights, it's less about Iowa State and more about, like, Texas has given us no reason to trust them. Now you're going into a game without your starting running back. Everything that means there's that much more on your quarterback's shoulders, and I'm still not sure you didn't rush him back a little bit for a team that can't close big leads and a team that can't score touchdowns. Once they get across the opponent's 40, they settle for field goals or turnovers or turnover on downs. The hook is beautiful. It's a beautiful hook. Give me Iowa State plus 7.5.
When was the last time Texas beat or Iowa State beat Texas?
They did it at 3 years in a row, and then Texas won last year.
Oh, wow.
Like, Texas finally won last year after losing three straight to Iowa State.
Yeah, I see. Okay. I was looking at the history there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
Now, look.
Sometimes Texas as an Oklahoma State fan, I wonder, are we just overrating Jack's rights?
No. You know, no, you're not.
Because of the Cowboys' own history in that stadium. But
it's a pain. That's also rivalry series between Iowa State and Oklahoma State. But look, it's hard to go play there. It's tough. Look, Iowa State can't run the ball, and Texas is great against the run. So, this feels like to Texas having another hiccup.
Yep. Like, they just Texas hasn't won in Jack Trice since 2017.
All right, we wrap this up with our non-Big 12 picks. Any game, anything you want from any non-Big 12 game. Chris, you're up first, sir. You got first dibs. I'm going to start scrolling to find Coastal Carolina now while you start talking.
Job done, then. That's hilarious. That's my pick this week. You know, I got to go. I wasn't really seeing anything I like. Coastal Carolina at Army. You know, I really don't like picking military school games because they're just kind of weird. They're low scoring. They're boring. It's whatever. But Coastal, they're 7-3 against the spread. And here's the weird thing. Here's why I'm riding with Coastal this week. 4-1 on the road against the spread. Army only 1-4 at home against the spread. That's bad. At home, and you're not – I mean, win-loss record is one thing, but against the spread, not to do well. FEI likes Coastal by a little bit, just a slight edge against the line. So I'm going to ride with the Coastal there this week.
All right, Daniel, I'll get your opinion. DraftKings and Station are hanging a 4.
Give it to them.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Last place. We give them we tip the cap.
No, I don't want it.
No, take it, man. Come on.
No, you're getting the 4. We get the 4.
We want a photo finish in the last week.
Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we'd like. We'd like to get into bowls like neck and neck. Okay, there's 4 games that I have looked at this week and seriously considered. Let me get through the ones I'm not going to do. You know I love unranked favorite versus a ranked dog. Since 2021, I believe the unranked favorite has won 15 of 20. We have one this week. Clemson is a 6.5-point favorite versus North Carolina. I don't like how big that line is, though. Like, I don't like the 6.5. If it was like 4 or 5, I'd probably take Clemson. At 6.5, it's just bigger than I really want to do. It just is. So I'm staying away from that one. I think Boston College, I think we have a wrong team favorite situation with Pitt favored versus Boston College, but I don't really want to take another road dog. That hasn't really worked out well for me so far this season. That brings me to 2 totals that I am seriously considering. The first one I looked at, and it's a lot of points, is LSU Georgia State. The total is currently at 71. I still don't think it's high enough for that game, but that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with one I should have been going with all season long because I would have just an insane number of non-Big 12 wins. Now, this is the weekend won't work, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm taking under 30.5 in Iowa, Illinois, because Iowa unders are just money. And the fact that I haven't been riding that all season long is dumb. So I'm going to do it this week. Now, this is probably the week that it doesn't pan out for me, but I'm going to do it anyways. Under 30 in Iowa, Illinois. Illinois is getting their starting quarterback back. I actually think that's worse for Illinois than if they just continued to go with the backup. Oh, wait, no. Is that a 30 and a half? Yes. Hold on. Let me find one more. FanDuel's got a 30 and a half.
Those half points matter when it's that long, man.
They absolutely do. Iowa's got, or Ohio's got, I need, who else has one? Who else has a 30 and a half? Oh, there's a couple 30 and a halves. Oh, beautiful. Done. 30 and a half. Give me that hook. Appreciate that. Daniel?
All right. Let me do a little heat check here. I'm going to take UTEP plus 7.5 versus Middle Tennessee State. I'm going to, it's an angle that's it's been on fire for me this year. I haven't mentioned it yet on the show, so I'm going to bring it up. Dude, this is when teams are really bad, okay? When you have single-digit conference dogs, okay? Excuse me, single-digit conference visitors. So that's what we got here, UTEP, right? They're plus 7.5. When they're under 40% against the spread and under 40% win percentage, and I know, look, that sounds a little cherry-picked. It sounds a little arbitrary, but it makes sense. Basically, when you have bad teams, when you have a bad conference visitor and they're getting single digits, they're hitting at almost 58% against the spread, 328, 239 lifetime. This season, that spot is 22-8. So again, this is a little bit of a heat check. We're going to be about 6 or 7 feet behind that three-point line. We're going to chuck it up, taking UTEP plus 7.5. Let's bring it home. Let's have them cash this week. I do have real money on this game.
All right. UTEP and Bet River, or not UTEP. Bet Rivers and South Point are hanging eights.
Yeah, it's 7.5.
All right. I'm offering,
I appreciate
fine.
It. No, I appreciate it, but okay. You know, Bet Rivers is, yeah.
At some point we're going to have a conversation of which books to use. We're going to have official like Daniel's list of good books, bad books.
if you've got two decent ones lined up, you know, that's cool.
Fair enough. But I want you to do it as like one of those Instagram graphics that women do after they've read like 8 books for their book club for that month. It's like Daniel's best books. And these are the ones that you can trust. this has been fun. It always is. Fellas, we've only got like 3 more of these. We've got one last week of the regular season. We got championship week, and then we'll do picks for bowls as well. Oh, the season, it goes too quick. It goes too quick. But here is to hoping for a successful week for Chris and myself and for Daniel to just at least go 500 so that we have an opportunity to close the gap quickly so that we can have a photo finish by a hair in bowl season. We'll see what happens. It's been fun as always. Do us a favor. We've got a bunch of stuff we just posted to the 1012 Network Patreon in the last 7 days. We've got the Big 12 schools as dogs, the Big 12 dog park. I had some notes earlier in the week. And then we had a fantastic interview with Ralph Amsden looking at the Corner 4 schools and kind of what's going on with them right now before they join the Big 12. All of that's on the Patreon. One of those is available for everybody. I'm going to lock up the Ralph Amsden video here probably. I said 24 hours, I might keep it open until Friday for everybody if you want to go take a look, kind of see what you can get from the 1012 Network Patreon. It's $5 a month. You can pick which show that you want to support. Please go and check that out. The link is in the show notes. Of course, our good friends, Charlie Hustle. Technically, we still have good friends with Prize Picks, but they won't show me anything in Arkansas from college anymore, so it's not like I can go in there and like be like, here's the lines for this week, because I can't see them. So that's awesome for me. Living in Arkansas, super fun. Anywho, you can go to Prize Picks as well if you want. We are on Twitter at 1012 Network. Daniel's on Twitter at DannerB7 if you want to find out about the betting Slack chat that he is helping to run and a part of. You can DM him and ask about it. Chris is not on Twitter, but if you'd like a Frisbee, let me know and I'll connect you with him. Sorry, not a Frisbee, a discus. Frisbee is a brand name. We don't say that here. Well, because he doesn't sell Frisbees. We will be back on Monday to recap the week. The weekend that was, talk about the weekend ahead. Y'all enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Podcast Network.